We're still talking about Albert Reynolds, and we've been concentrating exclusively so far on his role in the Northern Ireland peace process. There were other stories to be told and will be told, no doubt, about his political career. We're joined now by Tim Ryan, a former political correspondent of the Irish Press and the author of the book about Albert Reynolds, in not exclusively, but primarily, I think, Tim, about the early years of Albert Reynolds. The book is called The Longford Leader. The timing of all of this, I suppose, we're missing out a lot of the story of Albert Reynolds. But one thing that comes out of the story of how he got the Northern Ireland peace process going was this ability to do deals. He was a good negotiator. He was open to talk to people. And that obviously reflected itself in other aspects of his political career.
Yes, I think Neil O'Dowd referred to it in an earlier clip, that the skills he acquired as a businessman, he used those doing deals. He used those the very same way in applying to politics. You did a deal in business, you did a deal in politics, same principles, and that's when he did a deal, he expected it to be honoured. And if it wasn't, there was consequences to pay.
There was this description of him when he was Taoiseach, certainly, of the one-page man, where he would ask the advisers for the key information on one page. And that was seen as, by some, it was used by the intellectual snobs against him, if you like. But it wasn't a sign of a lack of brain power. It was simply he wanted to boil things down to their essence.
Yeah, I think that's the way he always operated from his show band days. I mean, everything was on a page and it was doable or it wasn't, and he didn't need a huge brief to make an assessment. He took a chance, he made an assessment fairly quickly, and he wasn't afraid to take a chance, as the peace process showed. He didn't need an endless brief. He called it as he saw it, for good or for bad.
And while all of that was happening, when he had to concentrate on the nitty-gritty of the peace process, and we all know how difficult a process it was, he had to be running. He was running the country as well, or he was supposed to be running the country. How did he do?
I think he did well. I think he'll go down as a thing. Now, his term was pretty short, so it's going to be hard to assess him. It was only 2 years or so. But I think for the time he was there, he achieved quite a bit. I mean, it was dominated maybe unexpectedly by the peace process, and he got an opening and he got the ball and he ran with it and delivered. But I think on as a Taoiseach, he would be seen to have delivered as well. And he was quite a capable Minister for Finance. And, of course, he probably made his name, first of all, as a Minister for Post and Telegraphs when appointed by Charles Haughey way back.
And the man who also famously brought the 8 billion home from Europe.
From Europe, yeah.
Stay with us, Tim. We'll talk more about his political career in a minute. I want to talk to Maura Geoghegan-Quinn, Ireland's outgoing European Commissioner. She, of course, backed Albert Reynolds as a leader back in 1992 and appointed to the Cabinet by him. Maura Geoghegan-Quinn, good afternoon. What are your thoughts on Albert Reynolds this afternoon?
Well, I'm very saddened because he was a great close personal friend, a great supporter at all times. And my thoughts are primarily, I suppose, with Kathleen and with his 7 children and grandchildren, who must be devastated by this tragic loss for them. Albert, the politician, was somebody that I had huge admiration for. As Tim rightly said, he was only Taoiseach for 3 years, but my goodness, what did he achieve in the 3 years? It was amazing. If he had been there for longer, I think even greater things could have been achieved. And I suppose in the Ireland of today, when we enjoy, for the most part, very good telecommunications, excellent infrastructure, we forget that, you know, during his time as Minister for P&T, during his time as Minister for Finance, indeed when he was Taoiseach delivering on the almost £8 billion for infrastructure, that laid all the groundwork for the type of top quality infrastructure that we have today. I think that also needs to be remembered.
People say, and this is usually a reference to the North, that he wasn't burdened by this excessive political baggage or political ideology.
Exactly.
But outside of the North, where did he stand? What was he in terms of the economy, in terms of social issues? Was he left-wing, right-wing, or what was he? How would you describe him?
Well, if I take the social issues first, probably one of the biggest social issues that were tackled during his period in government was the decriminalisation of homosexuality, for which I had responsibility as Minister for Justice. And while Albert was a very strong, as we know, right-wing Catholic, I think it would be fair to say, once he was convinced that the issue, that the way we were tackling it was the right thing to do, then he became totally and absolutely committed and supportive of it. But it would have gone against every fabric of his being, if you like. But it showed that he could be above that kind of small-minded thinking. And I think that was a great credit to him. On the economy, I mean, what he did, people talk about Northern Ireland and all of that. And, you know, his friendship with John Major began not when they were prime ministers, but in fact, long before that, when he was Minister for Finance and John Major was Chancellor of the Exchequer. And you could see him operating, because I went to the European meetings, the economy and finance ministers meetings, and you could see how he networked. I mean, he was an incredible networker, Albert Reynolds. And that probably came from his business background when he had to do a lot of networking. But in political terms, I mean, that really paid off when both of them became the prime ministers of their respective countries and had to do a deal in relation to Northern Ireland. Major trusted him, and that trust was an incredibly important factor in delivering the Downing Street Declaration.
One take on this we heard earlier on, Maura, was that he was a very stubborn man and that that helped him in many ways, but in another way it perhaps contributed to his political downfall in the end, that he stuck by his guns, that he felt that he was right and he wasn't for moving.
Well, I suppose you could call it stubborn in one way, but I think it was more about loyalty, indeed, than about stubbornness. And at the time, I think he wasn't prepared to compromise on that loyalty that he had in order to be able to save the government. And I think he thought at the end of the day that others would have taken the right decisions.
This is Harry Whelan.
Yes, exactly. And I think it was a terrible tragedy that the government felt, because I always thought that that government worked very, very well together. You know, there was a humorous side to Albert Reynolds that we don't talk about or indeed hear enough about. And the other thing, apart from the one pager that you talked about, which I think was him distilling down into one page exactly the main points of any argument that he needed to make or any information or background information that he needed, he also had a tremendous love of country music. He was never ashamed to say that he had. And he was, as Olivia O'Leary said earlier this morning, one of the most fantastic dancers. But a very personal story for me, and I will never forget it. Just after we were fired by the government, and he and Pádraig Flynn were fired by Charlie Coughey, Kathleen went in to the Mater Hospital and got a very, very bad prognosis. And he came back, having been to the hospital with her, and he was in his office, and I went in. And he sobbed openly and loudly. And I said, this is a man who is, you know, a fantastic politician. To the outside world, he's a hard businessman. But here he was, there was a personal tragedy unfolding in front of him, and he was not afraid to show his emotions. And, you know, their loyalty to each other, their support for each other, she was always by his side. To me, that will forever be the image that I have of Albert Reynolds.
Maura, thank you very much indeed for talking to us. Maura Geoghegan-Quinn there on the line.